Hello and welcome to episode 846 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Maundy Thursday, March 28th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with a prayer to honor the Blessed Mother for Thursday. It is the prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain heaven by the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori. O Queen of Paradise, who reignest above all the choirs of angels, and who art the nearest of all creatures to God, I, a miserable sinner, salute thee from this valley of tears, and beseech thee to turn thy compassionate eyes towards me. For whichever side they turn, they dispense graces. See, O Mary, in how many dangers I now am, and shall be as long as I live in this world, of losing my soul, of losing heaven and God. In thee, O Lady, I place all my hopes. I love thee and sigh to go soon to see thee and praise thee in heaven. Ah, Mary, when will be that happy day on which I shall see myself safe at thy feet and contemplate my mother who has done so much for my salvation? When shall I kiss that hand which has delivered me so many times from hell and has dispensed me so many graces when on account of my sins I deserve to be hated and abandoned by all? My Lady, in life I have been very ungrateful to thee, but if I get to heaven, I shall no longer be ungrateful. There I shall love thee as much as I can in every moment for all eternity, and shall make amends for my ingratitude by blessing and thanking thee forever. I thank God with my whole heart, who gives me firm confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thee, and the conviction that thou wilt save me, that thou wilt deliver me from my sins, that thou wilt give me light and strength to execute the divine will, and in fine, that thou wilt lead me to the gate of paradise. Thy servants have hoped for all this, and not one of them was deceived. No, neither shall I be deceived. O Mary, my full confidence is that thou hast to save me. Beseech thy Son Jesus, as I also beseech him, by the merits of his passion, to preserve and always increase his confidence in me, and I shall be saved. And now, friends, for our prayer for the conversion of the Jews. God of goodness and Father of mercies, we beseech thee through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and by the intercession of the patriarchs and holy apostles to look with compassion upon the remnant of Israel so that they may come to a knowledge of our only Savior, Jesus Christ, and share in the precious graces of redemption. Amen. We return once more to the excellent traditional Catholic website, fisheaters.com. They have a lot of good stuff over there. I highly recommend you check it out. This is Meditations for Lent, available for free by St. Thomas Aquinas, initially published by Sheed and Ward in 1937. I don't know if initially published is the right thing to say, but this edition was published by Sheed and Ward in 1937 for Maundy Thursday, which is today, entitled The Last Supper. It was most fitting that the sacrament of the body of the Lord should have been instituted at the Last Supper. One, because of what that sacrament contains, for that which is contained in it is Christ himself. When Christ in his natural appearance was about to depart from his disciples, he left himself to them in a sacramental appearance, just as in the absence of the emperor there is exhibited the emperor's image. When Saint Eusebius says, since the body he had assumed was about to be taken away from their bodily sight and was about to be carried to the stars, it was necessary that on the day of his Last Supper, he should consecrate for us the sacrament of his body and blood, so that what, as a price, was offered once should, through a mystery, be worshipped unceasingly. And friends, this is what we experience at the Holy Mass. And this is why it is so important to be in a state of grace when receiving our Lord. Because transubstantiation takes place at each Mass. It's a miracle. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ comes into effect. What appears to be bread, what appears to be wine, is really God himself, and we consume God when we consume the most blessed sacrament. So do not ever receive our Lord if you're conscious of sinning gravely and not have gone to confession ahead of time. 2, because without faith in the Passion, there can never be salvation. Therefore, it is necessary that there should be forever among men something that would represent the Lord's Passion, and the chief of such representative things in the Old Testament was the Paschal Lamb. To this, there succeeded in the New Testament the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is commemorative of the past Passion of the Lord, as the Paschal Lamb was a foreshadowing of the Passion to come. And therefore was it most fitting that on the very eve of the Passion, the old sacrament of the Paschal Lamb having been celebrated, our Lord should institute the new sacrament. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, bridging that unbridgeable gap between God and man, because he is both. He's truly God and truly man. And when we attend the Holy Mass, it's not Jesus being sacrificed over and over and over and over again at every Mass, which some Protestants mistakenly believe. No, we re-enter, as it were, Calvary. We're transported to what took place 2,000 years ago. That sacrifice is timeless, and we're there again at each and every Catholic Mass. 3, because the last words of departing friends remain longest in the memory, our love being at such moments most tenderly alert, nothing can be greater in the realm of sacrifice than that of the body and blood of Christ. No offering can be more effective. And hence, in order that the sacrament might be held in all the more veneration, it was in his last leave-taking of the apostles that our Lord instituted it. Hence, St. Augustine says, our Savior, to bring before our minds with all his power the heights and the depths of the sacrament, willed, ere he left the disciples to go forth through his Passion, to fix it in their hearts and their memories as his last act. And this makes sense, doesn't it? The last things people say before they die, and when they're on their deathbed or whatever the particular case might be, they're focusing on what's most important and what they want people to remember about them. And Jesus does so much more than that. And he gives us this precious gift, the gift of himself. Remember in the Holy Gospel, according to St. John, chapter 6, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. I believe the Greek term is trogon. I don't know much Greek, but I remember this from Catholic apologetics, that word means to gnaw, right? To gnaw on his flesh. Unless you gnaw on his flesh, you have no life in you. Where do Protestants do that? Where do they gnaw on our Lord's flesh? They don't. So if you're a Protestant, or if you know a Protestant who says, hey, my faith is based on the Bible, you might want to check the Bible again. I don't say that to be sarcastic or to be flippant, but there are excellent resources out there, like A Biblical Defense of Catholicism by the Catholic apologist Dave Armstrong, who shows that the Catholic faith is eminently biblical. And indeed, it's the Catholic Church that collected, protected, and promulgated the Holy Bible. And to trust the Bible is to implicitly to trust the teaching authority of the Catholic Church, whether people realize that or not. And in John 6, Jesus says, you have to eat my flesh. You have to gnaw on my flesh. Where does that take place? It takes place at the Holy Mass. It takes place in the Catholic Church. To conclude here, St. Thomas says, let us note that this sacrament has a threefold meaning. Number one, In regard to the past, it is commemorative of the Lord's passion, which was a true sacrifice. And because of this, the sacrament is called a sacrifice. Number two, in regard to a fact of our own time, that is, to the unity of the church, and that through this sacrament, mankind should be gathered together. Because of this, the sacrament is called communion. St. John Damascene says the sacrament is called communion because by means of it, we communicate with Christ. And this because we hereby share in his body and in his divinity, and because by it we are communicated to and united with one another. And number three, in regard to the future, the sacrament foreshadows that enjoyment of God which shall be ours in our fatherland. On this account, the sacrament is called Viaticum, since it provides us with the means of journeying to that fatherland. And on this account, too, the sacrament is also called Eucharist, that is to say, the good grace, either because the grace of God is life eternal, or because it really contains Christ, who is the fullness of grace. In Greek, the sacrament is also called Metalipsis, that is, Assumption. For through the sacrament, we assume the divinity of the Son of God. So to put a bow on this, friends, the Most Holy Eucharist is extremely important. And it's a gift, the Lord literally giving himself. It's a gift beyond all imagining. And so I just want to reiterate, you're only to receive it when you're in a state of grace. That's why confession is so important and making a good confession is so important. Let us love Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Let us love to spend time with him in Eucharistic adoration. And let us ask the Blessed Mother for a deeper love and a deeper reverence of our Lord in Holy Communion. To conclude, friends, let us mention Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast as well for more information pertaining to RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, first and foremost, her hard work and the hard work of her family, breaking through to open communication, we know she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. Communication is a human right, and RPM is doing for non-speakers what sign language did for the deaf in terms of their being able to communicate. Or you can point to Braille for the blind in terms of their being able to read. It's that massive. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread this message far and wide and put yourself in the shoes of a non-speaker for a moment. Can you imagine? Can you possibly imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you had the gifts and talents of my niece and you were unable to share them with the rest of the world? You couldn't even tell your family what you wanted for breakfast. And they had to guess as to what all your wants and needs were. No one should have to live that way. Communication is a human right. Please remember that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye. And God love you.